behind his pulpit tonight, and I count it a great honor and appreciate the opportunity. And had an unusual cancellation for this week. We were supposed to be in revival somewhere. I can't remember where it is. It was now, and we postponed the meeting till later on in the year and had this opening. Appreciate the opportunity. Good-looking crowd for July the 5th, and I know that many people were off work and could have went out of town, and maybe some did, but you chose to be at the house of God. And you heard about that evangelist that was preaching revival and came out on the platform on Monday night with the preacher. There was only about 10 people sitting in the pew. And the evangelist looked at the preacher, the pastor. He said, "Man," he said, "you didn't tell anybody I was coming?" And the pastor said, "No, I didn't, but somebody must have." Amen. And but anyway, I appreciate the opportunity and the privilege. That's about as good as it gets on the jokes. Amen. So I'm just going to go ahead and let you know. And this fellow right here asked me, he said, "Will you spit on me?" Now, I don't know if he was asking me, "Will you spit on me?" or "Are you going to spit on me?" But it's a good chance, amen. So you're in a good spot if you want to get spit on. I can guarantee you that. So, but this is my wife, Nikita, right here. I'm going to ask her to stand. She loves it when I do this, amen. This is my wife, Nikita, and we've been married now. Just a couple weeks ago, we celebrated our 10-year anniversary, traveled all across the country, been in evangelism ever since we got married, and I appreciate her traveling across the country with me. And I won't say much about the CD table except for the fact that all through the year, everything that we make on the table goes right towards the ministry. But always, we always start the second half of the year, and everything that we make goes towards the missions trip that I make over to the Philippines. Nikita went over there with me last year. We plan on her going with me again this year. So the proceeds that we do make on the table, she is able to take cash, checks, and credit cards. And she'll be there at the end of the service for those things. Good to see Brother Josh here. Amen. Brother Josh and I go way back back in Team Spectacular days there in Michigan. Good to see him in a good church here serving the Lord and what God's called him to do. Amen. Brother Caldwell, thank you for allowing me to be able to be here. I want to preach a message of help to us tonight, if I could. It never fails as my wife and I travel across the country. It never fails when I'm sitting in prayer meetings, whatever day that may be, whether it's Sunday night before church or Saturday night before the revival starts. It never fails during a prayer meeting that I don't hear the word cancer quite often. It never fails where I don't hear the word Alzheimer, or I hear about men losing their jobs, or women are left to raise a family on their own, or people are struggling to be able to pay the bills. And you understand tonight, church, I'm not trying, I didn't come to be the bearer of bad news. I didn't come to do that at all. But I understand tonight that every single one of us are just one phone call away from our entire world being turned upside down. And the question tonight is not, will we go through hard times as children of God? That's not the question. The question is, what are we going to do when we do face the hard times of life? You understand? Yea, those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen. And you understand tonight, church, we will go through hard times, but I believe you're looking at a preacher tonight that does not have all the answers to all of life's questions. Matter of fact, I don't even know what most of the questions are. But I do have a book that does have the answer to all of life's questions. Amen. The Word of God, the King James Bible. I'm thankful for that tonight. So if you find your place in Ezra chapter number 4, Ezra chapter number 4, let's all stand as we take reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Ezra chapter number 4. You'll find in the book of Nehemiah that we find standing for the reverence of the reading of the Word of God in the book of Nehemiah, where the Bible talks about Ezra stood and the people stood with him as he read the Word of God. And they also said amen when they agreed with the Word of God. Amen. So I believe if we're going to do one, we ought to do both of them. Amen. We ought to do what the Word of God says. And I believe the Bible can help us tonight. Look at Ezra chapter number 4. How many of you are full of barbecue from yesterday? How many of you, amen, won't we just kind of forget about that and just have a good time at the house of God tonight? Amen. I like what one preacher said. He said, "I've had more fun as a Christian in my sleep than I ever did awake as a lost sinner." Amen. I'm glad to be a child of God. Amen. We get to live a good life, don't we? The greatest life in all the world is being a blood-bought child of God. Ezra chapter number 4, look at verse number 4. The Bible says, "Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. All the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia." Brother Josh, won't you open us up in prayer tonight, please, sir?
God, it's such a privilege to be in your house tonight. Hear your word preached. Such an amazing thing to be a part of. And yet we take for granted that we have such an amazing privilege to hear your word preached. God, the privilege that we have.
Amen. You may be seated tonight. Let me just lay a very brief foundation and then we'll get right into the message tonight. You'll find that the enemies of Judah and Benjamin were people who had been relocated in the northern kingdom when Assyria conquered Israel. In an attempt to infiltrate and disrupt the project of rebuilding the temple. And you'll find that these people offered to help the Jews rebuild the temple. But what they really wanted to do is they wanted to keep a close eye on what the Jews were doing. And they were hoping to keep Jerusalem from becoming a strong nation once again. You'll find as you read through this portion of Scripture right here that the Jews, however, saw through their ploy. And can we be reminded tonight, church, that any time that those of us that are blood-bought children of God, any time that we partner with unbelievers, it always leads God's people to compromise their faith. Amen. And believers can always expect opposition when we're doing God's work. Unbelievers and evil spiritual forces are always working against God and God's people. And we need to move ahead with the work that God has planned for us and trust God to show us how to overcome the obstacles that come along this journey called the Christian life. I want you to look at one verse here tonight in Ezra chapter 4. Look at verse number 5. Ezra chapter number 4 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "And hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose." Now you understand tonight, church, the Jews' purpose was to rebuild the temple. And the enemy came in to frustrate them from accomplishing that purpose. God's purpose for you and I tonight in 2017 is to build the house of God. Now I understand that God built His house, but He uses you and I as human instruments in order to accomplish His purpose. And can I say the same enemy has come to end today in 2017 to frustrate God's people from fulfilling their purpose. Can I say this tonight, church? I believe this with all my heart. I don't say this for convenience. I don't say this because it sounds good in the sermon, but I believe this with all my heart tonight that we are living in the last days. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ could come back before this service was even over tonight. I was preaching in Gulfport, Mississippi not long ago, and a preacher asked me right before I got up to preach. He said, "Brother Dallas," he said, "as you read the Bible," he said, "what do you see that needs to take place before the coming of the Lord?" And I said, "Brother Cray," I said, "as I read the Word of God, the only thing I see that needs to take place before the coming of the Lord is the sound of the trumpet." Amen. I believe that Jesus Christ could come back before this service is even over. And can I say, even in these last days that we're living in, can I say there are a lot of things in these last days that frustrate the fire out of me. Amen. Can I say politics frustrate me? Amen. Can I say our forefathers are rolling over their graves tonight because of the politics in our country. Republicans and Democrats alike, they treat politics as some board game. Thank God for the country that we live in, the United States of America. But we need to understand tonight, church, that America, you've heard it said before, America is not going to be spared through the White House, but America is going to be spared through God's house. Amen. Politics frustrate me. Can I say religion frustrates me? Thank God 19 years ago when I walked to the Bethel Baptist Church in Walls, Mississippi, I was a dope addict. I went through all the rehabs and in and out of jail, went through all the 12-step programs that I possibly could. And when I walked to that church, thank God they didn't shove religion down my throat, but they told me about a loving Savior, amen. One preacher said this. He said that religion is man reaching up to God. Salvation is God reaching down to man, amen. People falling out on God, that frustrates me. Those that abandon the King James Bible, that frustrates me. Those that compromise their Baptist heritage, frustrate me. Those that throw away standards, frustrate me. Can I say tonight, church, any one of us that is a blood-bought child of God that wants to live holy and clean and righteous in this wicked world that we live in, there's got to be some things in this world that frustrate every single one of us tonight. I want you to turn your Bibles very quickly to Ezra chapter 1, verse number 3. Ezra chapter 1, look at verse number 3. We'll find the Jews' purpose here in Ezra chapter 1, in verse number 3. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. And let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem." So we find the Jews' purpose here in Ezra chapter 1, verse number 3. Their purpose was to rebuild the temple. God's purpose for you and I is to build the house of God. You understand tonight, church? I understand, as we already said, that God built His house, but He uses you and I as human instruments in order to accomplish that purpose. God's purpose for you and I is not to take up 18 inches of a pew and just sit there and get fed and fed and fed and never do with anything with what we got fed. No, our responsibility is to go out to a lost and dying world and tell them about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we build the house of God. Amen. And as I was reading these verses, in Ezra chapter number 4, where it talks about the enemy came in to frustrate their purpose, as I was reading these verses, it came to me that the devil does not have to kill us to keep us from our purpose. You know what he has to do? All he has to do is just frustrate us. In the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, it describes frustrate as to break or interrupt, to disappoint, to make ineffective. And I believe to disappoint is the best description for this particular application. Let me put it another way. When you and I have expectation up here, and reality sets in down here, and when expectation and reality do not meet up, we all become frustrated. Let me put it another way. Frustration is the difference between expectation and experience. It's the difference in the way we expect to live and the way life actually turns out. It's the difference in the way we expect to serve the Lord and our actual service to the Lord. It's the difference of the expectation of achievement and what actually is achieved. It's the difference of the number of souls we expect to see get saved, and it's the number of souls that actually do get saved. It's the difference of what the missionary expects to see on the mission field and what he actually experiences on the mission field. Can I put it on every single one of our levels tonight? Can I say it's the difference of what you expect the doctor to say and what the doctor actually does say. It's the difference in the way you expect your finances to turn out and the way the finances actually do turn out. And can I say, I believe with all my heart that frustration is the great tool of the devil and his great weapon against the church. And he wants to stop the building of the house of God, and he does it by filling our pews with frustrated people. That's why Sunday school teachers quit. That's why bus workers quit. That's why other workers in the church quit. That's why some make a sudden decision to leave the church. Can we all be reminded tonight, everybody that leaves Tabernacle Baptist Church, everybody's not evil people. Maybe some of them have just become frustrated and they allowed their frustration to take over, and eventually it got them out the door of Tabernacle Baptist Church. As my wife and I have traveled across this country the last 10 years, you'll hear me say it again tonight, I don't have all the answers. Matter of fact, I don't even know most of the questions. But I've noticed this as we've traveled across the country, that there's three types of frustrated people in all of our churches. First of all, there's those that are frustrated with themselves. They expected when they got saved, they would serve the Lord and see God use them in a great and mighty way. But they did not serve the Lord the way they intended on serving the Lord, and now they become frustrated. They expected the ministry they surrendered to would blossom into something fruitful and rewarding. But it did not happen the way they expected, and reality set in. They got frustrated. Number two, there's those that are frustrated in their relationship. They expected the person they married to be the perfect mate. But they found out that there were some flaws. Bliss turned into hard work. Delight turned into demands. Perfection turned into problems. They expected that there would never be any cross words. But those words came so quickly and so unexpected. They expected there would never be any disagreements. But now they think some things can't even be resolved. They're frustrated in their relationships. There are those that are frustrated with themselves. There are those that are frustrated in their relationships. And the third type of frustrated people in our churches, there are those that are simply frustrated with their church. They expected the church they joined to be perfect. The members to be perfect. The preacher to be perfect. Can I bust some of your bubbles tonight? And can I let some of you in on a secret? That type of church does not exist, amen. You know why Tabernacle Baptist Church is not a perfect church? Because you're not a perfect person. The preacher's not a perfect person. But can I say tonight, even though Tabernacle Baptist Church is not a perfect church, it's far better than the church down the road that has compromised the Word of God and doesn't have a tear in their eye for lost sinners. And can I say they don't see the souls of Zion anymore and the preaching of the Word of God doesn't take place. Can I say, even though it's not a perfect church, thank God it's a good church, amen, that still preaches, thus saith the Lord, amen. Look at Ezra chapter 4. We're still on introductory tonight, amen. My watch still says it's 6:35. I'm on central time tonight, amen. So we got a little while, amen. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to keep you all night. Look at Ezra chapter 4, and then we're going to get into the message tonight. Look what happens tonight, child of God. I understand that I'm preaching to the choir, to most of you tonight, that's at the house of God Wednesday night, July the 5th, 2017. But listen to me, frustrated. Just to make sure, I'm not on a lonely island by myself. I'm not the only one in the Christian life that's ever become frustrated. Has anybody else ever become frustrated? All of us do. When expectation is up here and reality is set in down here, we all get frustrated. Last night, expectation was up here. But this morning, when I stepped on the scale, reality was down here, amen. And I got frustrated. Look what happens when we allow frustration to take over. Look at Ezra chapter 4, look at verse number 24. Look at Ezra chapter 4, verse number 24. The Bible says, then ceased the work of the house of God which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. The enemy came in, frustrated their purpose. And because they got frustrated, the building of the temple ceased. It stopped. Can I encourage you tonight, child of God? You cannot. I cannot allow frustration to take over my life, because when it does, the work of the building of the house of God stops. We must not allow Satan to accomplish his purpose in our life. We must let God accomplish his purpose in our life. And when expectation and reality do not set up and we become frustrated, just put our peg down and say, I'm still going to live for God. I'm still going to serve God. I'm still going to be faithful to God. I'm still going to preach, thus saith the Lord, whatever the case is, stay faithful to God. When we get frustrated in the Christian life, amen. I want to preach very quickly tonight on this subject, on how to deal with frustration. You say, Brother Dallas, you're going to preach a message tonight and show us how we'll never experience frustration ever again? Absolutely not. I don't believe there's a message in this Bible to talk about how we'll... I'll tell you when we'll never experience frustration ever again is when we go home to be with the Lord, amen? That's when we'll never become frustrated again. And some of you may become frustrated before the sun ever comes up in the morning. But I can show us from the Word of God how we can deal with frustration once it comes. Amen. Look at Ezra chapter 5. Look at Ezra chapter 5. Look at verse number 1. Now, if I mispronounce some of these names here in the book of Ezra, forgive me, I forgot to listen to Alexander Scorby this morning, read the King James Bible. Amen. So that's another joke that went over like a lead balloon. Amen. There's a million comedians out there starving to death, and I'm one of them. Amen. Ezra chapter 5, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, then the prophets, Haggai the prophet, and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Did you see what the Bible says? It says, Haggai, Zechariah prophesied. Can I say, first of all, the preaching of the Word of God will eliminate frustration, amen. It will eliminate frustration. Child of God, can I encourage you tonight? You understand, when we get frustrated, expectations up here and realities down here, and we expect the life to turn out one way, and it turned out another way, and we became frustrated, the devil will get on our back, and he'll say, what's the use of going to the house of God? What's the use of going and sitting in your pew and listen to the man of God preach? You'd just be better off sitting at home. Can I say, you won't be better off sitting at home? And I understand tonight some of the hardest steps that you'll ever make is through the doors of Tabernacle Baptist Church with the Bible tucked under your arm. But can I say, that's the best thing you could ever do, because the preaching of the Word of God will help eliminate the frustration in our lives. Amen. Anytime that we feel frustration in our life, we need to realize that we need as much preaching as we possibly can get. That's why we ought to read sermons. That's why we ought to listen to sermons. That's why we ought to be in church every time there's preaching. The Bible says that God has chosen preaching to fulfill our needs, and that will help us overcome the frustrations in our life. I'm talking about the real Bible preaching that you get from behind this pulpit every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. Can I say, as an evangelist, I don't ever counsel anybody, especially without the pastor's approval. I never talk to anybody, but matter of fact, I don't really care much for counseling anyway. Thank God that there's men that God's given the gift of counseling. But everybody, people want counseling about everything these days. They want counseling about shacking up. They want counseling about their drinking their liquor and smoking their dope and how to raise children and how to do all these things. But can I let you in on a secret? The greatest counseling service you'll ever get is at Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, being at your place at the house of God when the man of God opens up the Word of God and preaches, thus saith the Lord. Amen. That's the best counseling service you'll ever get. But it's the frustrated that need preaching the most. But it's usually the frustrated that will stop coming to church and resist anything the Lord tries to do during the preaching. They get critical. they get judgmental. They get resentful. And they're trying to justify the difference in what they expected and what they experienced. Could I say that difference will always be there? The teaching and the preaching of the Bible, it'll help us. It'll draw us close to God. It'll thrill our heart. And it will help us overcome frustration. That's why we need revival meetings. That's why we need special meetings. That's why we need to be at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, midweek visitation, Saturday morning visitation. That's why we ought to go to other local churches to hear men of God preach. Why? Because the expectation is going to be up here and reality is going to set it in down here. But thank God the preaching of the Word of God will help eliminate that frustration. Some think nothing of missing a church service. And they wonder why they experience frustration. That frustration affects their life. That frustration affects their home, their peace, their relationship with God. Child of God, can I tell you something tonight? You and I are always, always, always making a mistake when we miss or we refuse to receive the preaching of the Word of God. You understand tonight, the very moment that every single one of us were saved, how many of us are a blood-bought child of God tonight? Raise your hand way up high tonight. We're a blood-bought child of God. Amen. I see all those hands. You understand, the very moment that every single one of us were saved by the grace of God, God, the Holy Ghost, come to live inside of us. And here you are, you're a saved child of God, and your expectation was up here, and reality set in down here, and you become frustrated. And you may never even tell the man of God the frustration that you're going through in life. But do you understand the same Holy Ghost of God that lives in you is the same Holy Ghost of God that lives in him? And throughout the week, as he's reading his Bible, and as he's praying, and as he's seeking God's face for what message to preach to his people on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, all of a sudden the same Holy Ghost of God that lives in you knows the frustration you're going through, will lay a message on the man of God's heart that you never even told him the frustration you were going through, and he can stand up and preach the Word of God, and it just so happens to be the very message to help you get through the frustrations of your life. But can I tell you something tonight, child of God? The message cannot help you if you're not here to receive the message that he preaches. Amen. You must be present to hear the Word of God preached. Second of all, very quickly. Can y'all hear me right here, everybody? Y'all fine right there? Okay, just want to make sure. Amen. I had a little girl in Colorado not long ago. She come up to me after the service one night. And she said, Brother Dallas, she said, you ever thought about tone it down just a little bit? And I said, no, ma'am. I said, my mom and dad always said I had a big mouth, and I don't want to prove them wrong now. Amen. Ezra chapter 5, look at verse number 2. Ezra chapter 5, verse number 2. Don't you love the Word of God? Amen. Man, all of life's answers combined in one book. I like what one preacher said. He said, there's more wisdom in the Bible than there are in all the books combined in every library across our land. Amen. That's the Bible. Ezra chapter 5, look at verse number 2. The Bible says, then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God. What does it say, church? Helping them. Helping them. Frustration, first of all, can be eliminated by the preaching of the Word of God. Second of all, frustration can be eliminated by participating in the work of God. Amen. It can be eliminated by participating in the work of God. You understand, dropping out of any service to God is never the answer. We never need a break from participating in the building of the house of God. That is God's purpose for our life. Sure, the devil will fight, and we may even become weary, but we must not stop participating. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1 says this, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I can't tell you how to prevent frustration. I'm just telling you how to eliminate it once it comes. Stay faithful and don't quit on God. Amen. I've seen so many bow out of their participation. And they end up falling out of church altogether. They had good sounding reasons. And they may have convinced me. But they did not get rid of their frustrations. Their frustrations just got worse. You mean to tell me that we're going to buck God's purpose for our life, and that purpose as a blood-bought child of God is to help build the house of God, and we're going to do everything against what God's purpose is for our life and expect it to work out? It's not going to work out, my friend, because God's purpose is for us to help build the house of God. Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 138 very quickly. We'll divert from Ezra for a minute. Look at Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Look what verse number 7 says. Psalm 138, look at verse number 7. This is David speaking here. David says this. He said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Now, I don't have time to read all the verses, but you understand David right here. The enemy is encamped all the way around him. And David, if I'm standing right here in the auditorium church, where am I at in the auditorium? I'm in the midst. I'm in the midst of the auditorium. So David said this. David said, I don't just have trouble in front of me. I don't just have trouble behind me. I don't just have trouble to the right, to the left, above, below. I'm a Mississippi boy, so in Mississippi terminology, David was saying this. I'm right smack dab in the middle of trouble. He said, I've got trouble in front. I've got trouble behind, to the right, to the left, above, below. He said, I am in the midst of trouble. There's some here tonight. Perhaps you're in the midst of trouble. Maybe there's some you've got trouble with finances. Maybe there's a mom and dad here, you've got trouble with a wayward son or daughter. Maybe you've got trouble on the job site. Maybe you've got trouble in the home. You are in the midst of trouble. You got trouble all the way around you. But look what David said. David said, though I walk in the midst of trouble. David didn't say, though I sit down in the midst of trouble. David didn't say, though I lie down in the midst of trouble. David said, you know what? I've got trouble all the way around me, in front, behind, to right, to left, above, below. He said, I'm in the midst of trouble. He said, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to sit down. I'm not going to lie down. I'm just going to keep on putting one foot in front of the other. And I'm just going to keep on being faithful and obedient to God. And child of God, can I encourage you tonight? Hey, don't sit down in the midst of trouble. Don't lie down in the midst of trouble. Hey, keep on walking to the choir loft. Keep on walking to the bus route. Keep on walking to that Sunday school class. Keep on walking to visitation. Don't sit down. Don't lie down. Keep on putting one foot in front of the other and be faithful to God. Amen. As I read this Bible, I see that God always blesses faithfulness and obedience to His Word. Look what David said. Look at it. Though I walk in the midst of trouble. He said, if I just keep on walking, putting one foot in front of the other, being faithful to God, thou wilt revive me. You ever been to the place, child of God? I'm not belittling the preaching. There's power in the preaching of the Word of God, amen. But have you ever had so much frustration built up in your life that you even come to the house of God and you sit in Sunday school class and you sit in preaching and it just seems like it goes in one ear and out the other and you're just so frustrated you don't get anything? Can I tell you, when you get to that place, it's not time the next service to stay at home. It's not time to sulk and have all your pity parties. No, it's time to just keep on being faithful, putting one foot in front of the other, day after day, service after service, week after week, bus route after bus route, Sunday school class after Sunday school class. Just keep on walking, and God's the one that can revive our soul back to the place where we're bringing honor and glory to Him. Amen. First of all, tonight, preaching can help eliminate frustration. Second of all, participation can help eliminate frustration. Third of all, turn your Bibles back to the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter number 3. Ezra chapter number 3. Look at it with me. Ezra chapter 3, look at verse number 10. The Bible says, and when the builders lay the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord, after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course and in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord. Because He is good. Did you see that? He is good. For His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord. Because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Can I say, third of all tonight, not only could frustration be eliminated by the preaching of the Word of God, second of all, not only could it be eliminated by participating in the work of God, but third of all, frustration could be eliminated by just finding us a place to praise the Lord. Amen. Can we be reminded He is worthy to be praised? And I understand the storms that we go through. It tosses this ship to and fro from time to time. And the valleys that we go through are deep, dark, real valleys. But thank God tonight, the same God that was worthy to be praised on the mountaintops of life is the same God that is worthy to be praised in these valleys that we go through as well. Amen. He's worthy to be praised. Do you understand tonight, child of God, that it is biblical to praise God at the house of God? Turn your Bibles to Psalm 111. Let me show you. Psalm 111. This was my memory verse not long ago. Look at it with me. Psalm 111. Psalm 111, verse number 1. Look at it with me. The Bible says, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. You say, oh, Brother Dallas, it's not my nature to get excited about things until my favorite ball team's playing. Can I say I'm not against ball games, I'm not against ball teams, but if you think that I'm going to shout more for something that's temporary instead of something that's eternal, you're crazy, my friend. God is worthy to be praised. I mean, hey, just for the fact that our feet will never touch hell, that's worthy to praise God the rest of the days of our lives. Amen. He is worthy to be praised. Can I ask you today, child of God, when's the last time we came down to the old-fashioned altar? And we didn't kneel, and all it was God, give me, give me, give me. But when's the last time we come down to an old-fashioned altar? We said, God, I didn't come to ask You for anything. I've just come to love on You a little while and to praise Your name for the goodness that You bestowed in my life. You understand, 7.5 billion people live on planet Earth. And the great God of heaven's in control of all 7.5 billion. And yet, some of those 7.5 billion people that live on planet Earth have never even heard the name Jesus Christ. And for us to be a blood-bought child of God living in the greatest country in all the world, the United States of America, we are a very blessed individual tonight, and we ought to praise God for the good things of life. Yeah. Amen. You understand this crowd here? They didn't just sing in the choir or sing a special in church every other month. They praised the Lord. They shouted with a great shout. They looked at the building of the house of God, and they were filled with joy. Things may not have gone like they wanted them to go all the time, but their purpose was being accomplished. They may not have liked what everybody else was doing all the time, but their purpose was being accomplished. Things may not have been what they expected all the time, but their purpose was being accomplished. You understand, church? A loud amen will go a long way eliminating frustration. A smile and a hearty handshake will go a long way eliminating your frustration. Open up that songbook and sing it with all your heart will help eliminate your frustration. I don't know if you know this or not, but raising your hand or weeping with joy or getting happy in church, it's not going to kill you, amen. It may just help eliminate the frustrations that we have in our life. Amen. You understand tonight, for us to be able to walk inside tonight and to be able to see, to be able to hear, to be able to feel, our brain is functioning, our heart is beating, oxygen is flowing through our veins. We don't have to meet underground tonight in fear of getting our heads chopped off for the gospel's sake tonight. We have the freedom to be able to assemble at the house of God. Can I say God is worthy to be praised? Amen. That will help eliminate frustration. And lastly, look at Ezra chapter number 6. Ezra chapter number 6. Ezra chapter number 6. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says, and the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet, Zechariah the son of Iddo. They builded and finished it according to the commandment of God of Israel. According to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. Lastly, frustration can be eliminated by prospering. Now listen to me. I'm not talking about making your bank accounts bigger, your wallets fatter, and add more square foot to your house. That's not the type of prospering I'm talking about. I'm talking about every soul that we win to the Lord. That sure will help eliminate frustration. My brother, I guarantee you, as you go through those prisons week after week, there's frustrating times that come along, isn't it? Expectations up here and realities down here. But I guarantee you, as he faithfully goes in those prisons preaching the Word of God and seeing those hardened inmates' hearts soften and they get saved by the grace of God, I promise you, prospering in the things of God will help eliminate frustration. Amen. Every victory that God wins in our life will help eliminate frustration. You say, well, Brother Dallas, you don't understand how hard of a time that I'm going through. I just don't see very much victory in my life. Can I say for some of us to be at the house of God on a Wednesday night instead of where we used to be on a Wednesday night, that is victory in Jesus. Amen. Every person that we encourage in the Lord will help eliminate frustration. Every reward from God will help eliminate frustration. Every day in the faithful service of the Lord will help eliminate frustration. This dear lady right here, what's your name again, ma'am? Tara, Miss Tara. Although you're not the one, but there was many probation officers that I used to meet with on a weekly basis. You know what the most frustrating thing for me in my life, right after God saved me? I put my mom and dad through the worst things imaginable. There was times they would come home and they would find their door busted wide open, and I stole everything in their house I could get my hands on to take to the pawn shop in order to feed the habits that I had in my life. And there was a day that came where my mom and dad put a restraining order against me where I couldn't even come within 100 yards of their house. I found myself living homeless in a rest area about a mile south of the little town of Hernando, Mississippi. And make a long story short, my mom picked me up one night, took me to live in a halfway house. And as I came from a family that definitely provided for me monetarily, nice clothes on my back, plenty of food on the table, always a nice roof over my head, always had a car to drive. But I got out of her car there that night, and all I had was just a few stitches of clothes and an old garbage bag. And that's really what sin and Satan will do to any of us. He'll rob us of everything God wanted to give us. And my mom told me, she said, Chris, she said, you're not going to hear from your sisters and I for some or your dad and I for some time because we've had to change our phone number because we've been getting harassing phone calls from dope dealers that you owe money to. And sure enough, I didn't hear from my mom and dad for about 6 months. And in order to live in that halfway house, I had to go to AA meetings every night and get up and say, my name is Chris Dallas. I'm a dope addict and alcoholic. And on one particular Sunday night, August 16th, 1998, I was walking out of that halfway house about to get in my car and head to an AA meeting, and the phone rang. And I don't know if it was before cell phones, but it was before I had a cell phone. It was back in the day when the phone was on the wall. How many of you ancient people remember those days? Amen. I say that in youth meetings, and they look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Amen. But the phone used to be on the wall. And I went and answered the phone, and when I did, it was the sweetest voice I'd heard in some time. It was my mama. Mama invited me to church, and I simply agreed to go to the church that night, not to hear about God, not to learn about the Lord. I simply agreed to go just so I could manipulate my parents and please them that I went to church, and maybe they would be pleased enough that I came to church and let me get out of that halfway house and come home and live with them. But thank God I got to church that night, and there was somebody there more powerful than I was. There was somebody there more powerful than the crowd I was running around with and the things I was putting in my body. And at invitation time, there was a man that came and stood beside me. And he said, you don't know who I am, but I've been praying for you. And I thought nobody in the world cared about me. My own family wouldn't even allow me in their home because they didn't know whether or not I'd steal from them in order to feed the habits that I had in my life. There wasn't one friend on planet Earth that I called my friend because I'd burned all those bridges. But when he said those words to me, this old cold, stony heart began to melt. And he took an old King James Bible and he began to take me on a journey. And that journey was called the Romans Road to Salvation. And that night I applied Romans 10:13 in my heart that says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God gloriously saved my soul, amen. And my life has never been the same. And tonight you're just looking at a nobody telling everybody about somebody that can save anybody. My life was absolutely changed that night. My mom was there the night I got saved. And she was thankful for God saving me. But can I say, just because God saved me that night, you understand? She didn't give me back 100% trust. That was the hardest thing that I had to overcome, is expecting that trust to be back at 100% when I'd taken 8 years of my life to destroy every bit of trust that they had in me. But I can tell you this tonight, 19 years later, putting one foot in front of the other, in front of the other, in front of the other, I can tell you that relationship has been built back to 100%. This may not mean much to you tonight, but it means the entire world to me. 19 years ago, they had a restraining order where I couldn't even come within 100 yards of the house. Here in a couple of weeks, I'll be dropping my wife off at my mother-in-law's, and they're going off to a ladies' meeting, and I'll be traveling through Mississippi where my parents live, and they'll be on vacation when I'm traveling through Mississippi there. But they'll leave a key under a mat where I can go inside their house and spend a couple of days until my next meeting. You understand? Every day, putting one foot in front of the other, day in, day out. Child of God, it's not time to sit down. It's not time to lie down. It's time to go 150% for God. I made my mind up 19 years ago when God saved me. To the extent that I live for the devil is now to the extent that I'm going to live for God. As we bow our heads and close our eyes.